And once again, I promise not to ask you to stand up in the course of my sermon. But I want to open up with a story here about our family. And this is a time when I was, I think I was about 7 years old, and we were doing our annual family vacation. And we had piled into the into our Dodge Coronet station wagon. And I was kind of joking about this as I was putting my sermon together, where I'm kind of alarmed at how many times that station wagon is making its way into my sermons. But we drove out to Illinois, Geneseo, Illinois, where my grandparents lived, and stayed there for 2 weeks, and then we're on our way back in. And this is one of those cases where we were driving to make time. We took our time going out that way, but coming back, we were moving. It was one of those things where we were bombing through Utah and Nevada, and I think it was because my dad had to get back in time to make it to work the day after we got home from our vacation. So we were moving. And as you can imagine, in a mid-70s Dodge Coronet station wagon, that it's August, we're going through Utah and Nevada, and the windows are rolled down, and the heater is on. Now, our car had air conditioning, but nonetheless, if it got really hot, you could not run the engine and run the air conditioning in a really hot situation. So it always made me wonder, why do we have air conditioning? And of course, we kids are miserable. We're sweating, we're hot, we're tired, and we're thirsty. You know, like I said, we were stopping just real quick to get gas, to get water, to get a little bit of food. We might get a little bit of water, but of course, Mom and Dad are monitoring how much liquid we're taking in. And I remember sitting in the very back with the sun beating down on me and thinking, I am so thirsty. And finally, we pulled into this, it was this A-frame kind of cafe in Baker, California. Beautiful Baker, California. You guys driven through it? That's right. We stopped there and we got in. And to this day, we joke about it because I can't remember what I ordered or what anybody ordered, and I guess that's normal. But what I do remember is taking a swig out of that icy glass of water and suddenly proclaiming very loud to the entire restaurant, wow, that's some good water. They always talk about the Baker, the place that has good water. But have you ever been thirsty? Have you ever had that moment when all you can think about is drinking down a large, icy glass of cool, clean water? Maybe you were an athlete and it was in the course of a long, hot practice. Or maybe you were hiking and you were out and you ran out of water and realized you had to hike all the way back. Or maybe you were out working in the yard and you were so involved in what you were doing, you just forgot to drink, and all of a sudden you have that sudden realization that I am thirsty. I want some water. And you know, the funny thing about those moments is that it's always water that we want. It's not Gatorade. It's not Powerade. It's not iced tea. It's not Coca-Cola. What do we want? We want water. We want some good H2O. Have you ever wondered why we get thirsty? Have you ever wondered why a person can last 40 days without food, but only 3 days without fluid replenishment? Well, if you've wondered, I'm going to tell you, because it's what we do. But it comes down to this whole thing called body composition. Our human bodies are roughly 60% water, and our brains are about 70% water. And our lungs are about 90% water. And the moment that those percentages begin to fall below that, we begin to dry out and our body begins to not function properly, and our brains begin to say, we need water, we need water, and we need it now. That is thirst. The truth is that water is life. Where there is water, there is life, for the most part. And today we've read about two things in the scriptures. In the book of Acts, we read about the Holy Spirit coming down, fiery scene, and we also read about water. Jesus proclaiming to come and drink, and living water will pour forth from the hearts of those who believe in him. But we're not just talking about any water, and we're not talking about any spirit. We're talking about living water and the Holy Spirit. And I want to begin talking about living water. Living water is moving water. It is water that has a current in it. It is water that is clean. It is water that gives life. And you see, for some reason, when water moves from one place to another, even in a lake where you've got an input and an output, and it seems like there's no current, the water is still moving. And when water moves from one place to another, it keeps itself clean and it keeps itself usable for life. But when water stands still and stagnates, it can become poison. Poison to those who drink it, and poison to animals who normally live in it. And I want you to think about this. The people around Jesus, when he proclaimed about living water, see, they were familiar with the differences between living water and not so living water. Jesus and his disciples came from Galilee. The Sea of Galilee was a big lake, and it was filled with fish. It was filled with life. And next to Jerusalem, where they were at for this festival, is the Dead Sea. And the Dead Sea is void of life. There are a lot of things you can use the water out of the Dead Sea and the mud for, but you can't use it to drink. And you can't fish in the Dead Sea because there's no fish in the Dead Sea. In fact, there is nothing that lives in the Dead Sea unless you count bacteria and microscopic fungi as life. There is nothing in that lake. And when Jesus proclaims living water, a Galilean proclaiming living water, there's a very powerful distinction between the two. And Jesus cries out in the middle of the Feast of Tabernacles, during which the temple priests would circle the altar, and they would they'd bring water from the Temple of Siloam, and they'd pour it over the altar. It was a symbol of the way that God had provided for them, of God's presence with them wherever they went. And it's here that Jesus cries out, "If anyone is thirsty, come to me, and let the one who believes in me drink. And as the scripture has said, out of the believer's heart shall flow rivers of living water." And in this setting, the meaning of Jesus' words and actions are clear. That whoever believes in Jesus will receive a new life. And this life, like good, clear, usable water that is good for drinking and which brings life and refreshment and restoration, will pour forth from those who believe and follow in Jesus' way. And there, these verses focus on a link between salvation, living water, and coming to Jesus, and on the relationship between the gift of the Spirit and belief in Jesus. And for John, when one judges with right judgment and recognizes who Jesus is, Jesus' gift of life then becomes available. It becomes power in the life of the one who follows in the steps of Christ. And without that judgment, one doesn't receive that new life, that outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And I do need to comment on one thing out of this passage where it says, and there was no spirit because Jesus had not yet been glorified. It's not completely true because God's Spirit is at work throughout the Old Testament. And if you'll remember, when we read the Gospel of Luke, it was the Holy Spirit that worked within Mary to conceive Jesus. So what we can say and what we can infer from that statement is that the Holy Spirit had not yet been given to people in the way that it did, that it was in Acts. In other words, there is a powerful new movement of God's Spirit as a result of Jesus' life, death, and resurrection. And it's a gift that gave birth to the church. And all that brings us to the Acts reading. And the reason for all the red and the banners and the dance, and that is that today is Pentecost, a day when we commemorate that outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And remember, last week Jesus told them not to leave Jerusalem until the gift from God had come to them and filled them with power. And so there the disciples gather in their locked room, and they are praying, and they are waiting upon God. And they have this powerful experience where a wind comes rushing through their space, and these tongues of fire appear above their heads, and they are suddenly filled with God's Spirit, and they burst out of the room and begin to proclaim the gospel to the people of Jerusalem. And when we hear what Peter has to say, he simply states that this outpouring of God's power and presence is available to all people because of Jesus Christ. And all of this is a result of God's movement and God's plans through history. And that we have found ourselves in the midst of that movement, of that power. And we've heard it all before. Every year we talk about Pentecost. Every year we talk about getting power. Every year we talk about the Holy Spirit falling upon us. And we get excited, and then you get a couple of weeks out, and then you're not so excited. You create new plans and strategies, and you get all excited, and you pray, and you move into them. And what happens 6 or 8 weeks down the line? You get thirsty. You get tired. You get a little burned out and bedraggled. And once again, we find ourselves in need of new life. And what do we do when we get into these moments? We call upon the Lord. We call upon Jesus. And we ask for extra portions of the Holy Spirit to be poured upon us. We ask for that. Because this is a gift that God wants to give us. Because it is the power that allows us to do God's work. We speak of a formula, water in the Spirit. Water in the Spirit. In the words have come to indicate a process of baptism and then a gift of the Holy Spirit, a gift of God giving to us new life, new power to do God's work. And when we speak of baptism, and we will be celebrating a baptism today, baptism represents us calling upon the name of the Lord and professing our belief and our faith in Jesus Christ. And the Spirit is God's empowering presence. It's the flame of God's love that helps us to grow in understanding, that increases our faith, and that gifts us and empowers us to do God's work in the world around us by water and the Spirit. Can you hear that idea of partnership? By water, our confession, our belief, our clinging hold, our asking. By water and the Spirit. God reaching down and giving to us the life and the power that we need to do what's expected of us. See, if we are willing to open ourselves to Christ, and then God provides the inspiration and the power to move forward. We can't do all that God needs us to do on our own. We just can't. We just can't. But the good news of Pentecost is that God knows that, and that God wants to help. And the reality is we need to keep our hearts hydrated. We need to keep that life flowing through our hearts. But the reality is there's only one thing that's going to satisfy that thirst. And at Pentecost, we think of the Holy Spirit as fire. That's our traditional way of thinking on Pentecost. But this year, in keeping with the gospel reading, let's think of the Holy Spirit as living water. As living water. And let's drink freely and let's drink deeply that it might flow from us, that others might be able to drink as well. There's a story, it's a little parable, and it's about two buckets. One which was new and shiny, and one which was old and battered and leaked. And you see, their master was responsible for going to a special spring and drawing water and taking it to the queen's table. And he would do this twice a day. And it was the water that the queen drank, and it was the water that gave the queen life. And it was a bit of a journey from the castle to the spring. And their master would put the yoke on his shoulder with a bucket hung on either side, and every day, twice a day, would go and get that water. But when he would do this, by the time he got back to the castle, the bucket that leaked would only be half full. Every trip only provided a bucket and a half of water. And this caused the leaky bucket a little bit of distress. And day after day, it would look at the other bucket and it would say, oh, if only I was so clean and new. If only I could hold water the way the other bucket does. If only my master would fix me so that I didn't leak. The leaky bucket wanted to be just as good as the new bucket. And so one day, as the master grabbed the buckets and was slinging them onto the yoke to go down to the spring, the leaky bucket finally cried out and said, "Master, why don't you just throw me away? I'm no use to you. I can only do half of the work that the other bucket does. And you walk such a long way back and forth from the well, and I leak out half of that water onto the ground. And the queen is such a good and noble queen. I want to serve her like the new bucket, but I can't. I can't even give her half a bucket of water." And the master looked at the bucket and smiled. And he said, "Silly bucket." As we go to the spring today, look down. Look below you on the path between the castle and the spring. The path that your water leaks out onto. And as they started, the bucket was at first too ashamed to look. and see the drops of water that were leaked out onto the path. But when the bucket finally looked, it began to see a thick row of beautiful flowers, many lush, blossoming varieties, lining that path with vibrancy and life and beauty. And the master said to the bucket, "You see these flowers? Every day, I pick these flowers to decorate the queen's table and the queen's room. When I noticed that you were leaking, I planted seeds alongside the path on your side of the road. Then twice a day, you come by, and the water that leaks out of you feeds these seeds, feeds these flowers, and gives them life. And now they've grown and blossomed to become the queen's favorite centerpiece. And she says that their fragrance calms her mind and brings peace to her heart. So you see, you are not useless at all. Rather, you serve two purposes, both to bring water to the king, to the queen, and to bring beautiful flowers for the castle, for her table, for her room." And today on Pentecost, as we think of the Holy Spirit as living water, may we drink deep, may we be filled, and then may we, like the leaky buckets, allow that water, that life, to be poured out that others may have life. May we be leaky buckets, and may we bring life, the life of Christ. Amen.